Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning at verse 14, these are the words of God. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, as our study in the Apostles' Creed and each of its segments takes us from the suffering of Christ, suffering under Pontius Pilate, we come next to those simple words. After we confess that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, we say he was crucified, died, and was buried. Was crucified, died. That word died kind of stands out. It's a word that many don't like to talk about, dying. Today, if someone dies, almost without fail, someone will say, well, they passed away. No, they died. They died. The Bible says Jesus died, and that's a simple word. It's only one word of an entire creed, but it's a powerful word and a word that encompasses the great truth that we want to examine when we ask, why is it in the creed? What does it mean? First of all, Jesus took flesh and blood so that he could die. The Bible emphasizes death, and the death of sinners is certain, and it's sure. The soul that sinneth shall pass away. No, what does the Bible say? The soul that sinneth shall die. Death is a punishment. Death will come because of the demands of the justice of God. And the only way for God to pardon sinners, to allow them to go free from that punishment of death, was for someone to die in their place. And for that someone to die in their place, he had to be one of us. Hebrews 2:14 says, children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same things. He became flesh. Why? The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, so that he might die. Jesus became flesh and blood only for one singular purpose, to die in the place of sinners. He had the solidarity with his people. He was made like us in all things except sin. He entered life by birth. We confess that in the Apostles' Creed, born of the Virgin Mary. He departed this life not by passing away, but dying. He died and he was buried. There is no aspect of our human experience that he did not share except for sin. And when he died a real death. Yes, I know there are those who deny that Jesus died and that they say he didn't really die, and so that's how they dispense with the resurrection. Oh, there's so many things that are said to deny the resurrection, but some of the more common are that Jesus only went into this deep comatose state, but then when he went into the coolness of that tomb hewn out of a rock, you can almost feel the cool air inside the hewn out rock of the earth. It revived him, and he just got up and he walked away. Well, there are problems with that, of course. If he just got up and he walked away, how did the stone get rolled away? Other problems as well. But it's just one of many denials. No, the Bible is clear, passage after passage. It will tell you that he died. He died a real death. But we must explain his death in the light of the fact that it was a necessary sacrifice for the sins of his people. You cannot explain the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified, died, and was buried, apart from sin, our sin. It was there on the cross that God placed our sin, as Isaiah said, the iniquity of us all, he placed it upon him. Because he alone did not rebel against God. He alone lived the perfect human life. He alone lived in absolute obedience to the law of God, a righteous, holy, perfect life, and so could be the substitute for us, because no sinner can pay the price for his sin. It had to be the death of the sinless Son of God. And that death is a part of that suffering. That suffering that was all his life long, as the old catechism tells us. He suffered the departure of his spirit from his earthly house. And that death is different from our death, because his death is a death that made him endure the wrath of God upon our sin, propitiating his heavenly Father, satisfying him for the sin of his people. Death is the loss of everything as far as this world is concerned. That's why a lot of people, when they think about death, you've probably met some, they'll say, well, when you die, that's it. Annihilationism, we call it. There's an annihilation. No more after death. This is all you get. And so you have a philosophy today that says, get everything you can get. Whereas the old commercial on television talked about it, get all the gusto you can get. You might remember some of those lines. But it's an expression of the philosophy of the world. This is all there is. When we're gone, that's all. No, death is not the loss of everything. It is merely the corruption and the dissolution of the body. Death for the Christian means that we're absent from the body. We die, but our spirit is present with the Lord. Death is the loss of everything as far as the world is concerned, but for the Christian, death is the vestibule, the entrance into eternal life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came as flesh and blood in order to die in the place of sinners, so that sinners might have a place in heaven with him. But notice that the writer of Hebrews says that he might destroy the power of death. It pictures Jesus as a champion who crushes the tyrant. The devil, he had the power of death. He was a tyrant. It was always death that loomed. And it does still, in some sense, loom in front of us all. But for the believer, it's different. It's not that final enemy that's going to consume us. Death is merely the servant of God that ushers us into the presence of the King. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, John says in 1 John 3:8. Because the devil is our great enemy. Here, Hebrews tells us he is the accuser. Jesus comes like a divine warrior, and he defeats the enemy. The prince of death is stripped of his power. Death has no longer a sting, as Paul writes in Corinthians. The prince of death loses his grip upon his people. They are taken from his grip and brought into the hand of the hand that will never let us go, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ casts out the strong man, according to Paul in Colossians 2, disarms and breaks the power of the enemy. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus is the victor over death. Death did not conquer him. He conquered death, and he destroys the work of Satan and renders him powerless against the people of God because he no longer has a hold upon them. Sin was paid for in Jesus' death at Calvary. Satan can no longer stand and accuse the believer of anything. We merely need to say, Jesus died, and that is enough. And before the throne of God, there is no longer an accuser. that says, what about him, as he did with his servant Job? And Satan pointed out, look what's happening. He'll deny you. He'll deny you. You've just been too good to him. And God allowed Job to suffer the torments of the enemy. But he had been there to accuse. He's no longer welcome because the penalty has been paid. Death has been defeated. Satan has nothing to say regarding you or me as a believer in Jesus Christ. You and I can boldly say with the scripture, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because he satisfied the wrath of God upon sin in my place. That's the cry of the believer. That's the foundation we rest on. That's the truth of Scripture. That's why we confess he died, so that we might not be condemned before God. We are to live with God for all eternity. And he delivers his people from death, and we, through his deliverance, receive the gift of freedom and liberty. The king of terrors, death, has been defeated, because that penalty has been paid. There's now no fear of any separation from God. For the believer will never be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because there's no condemnation any longer. That judgment, that condemnation, rested fully upon Christ, and he exhausted it in his death on the cross. Death is disarmed. The sting has been pulled. The sting of death is sin, which has been paid for. He paid it all. So now death no longer has a sting. It does not separate us from the love of God. Death brings us into his glorious presence. Death is a door. It opens to bring his children home. To be absent from the body, death, is to be present with the Lord. Christ has changed the curse of death and made it a blessing. We don't fear death. We don't fear, nor will we fear the second death, because our physical death is our entrance into glory and eternal life. No more sinning. No more death, but eternity with our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we confess Jesus died. He died for me. Is that your song? We sang it earlier. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That's the song of a believer. And as a believer, don't talk about passing away. Talk about dying. It's not an enemy. It's been transformed. A Christian's funeral should be a triumphant occasion where we rejoice in the gospel of grace for that person who has left this earthly habitation and been ushered into the presence of the King. Because that person, if he's in Jesus Christ, has lived with the confession that we find comfort in life and in death, in Jesus, who conquered sin and death. Live with the comfort that Jesus, who holds us in his hands, has conquered death, and face it in the joy and in the hope of what lies beyond, the hope of the resurrection. We place that body in the ground at the time of death, but it's the Christian who boldly declares that that one day is coming when that body will be raised by the power of God and for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Death is no longer an issue. We will live with our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. May that be your heart's confession. Amen.